Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Yamunamayi Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Hare Krishna, thank you everybody for coming. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atmanivedanam, Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhaktis Chen Navalakshanam Kriyeta Bhagavatyadha Yan Tan Manye Ditam Uttamam. So when Prahlad was a little boy in school and he was sent away to the Gurukul, and he came to visit his father on spring break, and the father was very happy to see him, very affectionate father, even though he was a demon. And he sat Prahlad on his lap and he said, "What's the best thing that you've learned in school?" The actual Sanskrit was, "Swaditam kinchid uttamam." Swaditam kinchid uttamam. What's the best knowledge you've gained? Because when Prahlad responded to his father got really mad. But Prahlad wasn't trying to, you know, be a jerk or trying to agitate his father. He took it that his father asked a serious question and Prahlad gave a serious answer. So the question, Swaditam kinchid uttamam. What's the best thing? What's the best knowledge to be gained? And these two verses from Bhagavatam was Prahlad Maharaj's answer. The best thing are all these nine items of devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, all of these things. Iti Pum Sarpita Vishnu. And every man who does these things to Vishnu, not to anyone else. Iti Pum Sarpita Vishnu, Bhaktis Chen Navalakshana. These nine qualities or nine types of devotional service, who does these things, and again he describes the quality of them, Kriyeta Bhagavatyadha, they have to be done to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, as Hiranyakashipu asked, Swaditam Kinchid Uttamam, what's the best thing you learned? So Prahlad says, Tan Manye Ditam Uttamam, I think the best thing that I've learned is this. These nine items of devotional service. So he's answering his father with the exact same words. Just like someone says to you, in your opinion, what's the best flavor of ice cream? And you respond, in my opinion, the best flavor is mint chocolate chip. Like that. So it's a straightforward answer to a straightforward question. What's the best thing to be gained? What's the best knowledge to be gained? And it's these nine practices of devotional service. Navalakshana Bhakti. There's nine. These nine processes. Bhakti is one. Bhakti simply means that you have this love for Krishna. This is bhakti. But it's expressed in different ways. Bhakti has its limbs or its accoutrements, and the accoutrements are these nine different processes. This is how bhakti is expressed, and this is how bhakti not only expressed but expressed and cultivated. All of these nine different things: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, offering prayers, worshiping, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering everything. So these are very important navalakshanam. Like I said, bhakti is one. Bhakti simply means that you have love for Krishna. But it's not that that's not enough, but it has to be expressed. It has to be cultivated in a certain way. As Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, he says, this devotional service is a sort of cultivation. It is not simply inaction for people who like to be inactive or devote their time to silent meditation. There are many different methods for people who want this, but cultivation of Krishna consciousness is different. The particular word used by Srila Rupa Goswami in this connection is anushilana, or cultivation by following the predecessor teachers. As soon as we say cultivation, we must refer to activity. Without activity, consciousness alone cannot help us. So bhakti is the love that one feels for Krishna, but it's incomplete unless it's expressed in some ways. And these nine kinds of devotional service are how they're expressed. So one thing that should be apparent from the classes we've been having now for, this is fourth, Shravan Karan Smaran, fourth class, is that these different limbs of bhakti, of devotion to Krishna, are not rigidly defined boxes with, you know, impermeable walls, that here's Shravanam and then there's a wall and next is Kirtanam. There's a lot of blending, there's a lot of overlap in all of these things. So we need to be aware of that when we're studying it and when we're practicing devotional service. Just like, let's take Shukadev Goswami, for example, who is the exemplar for kirtanam, for speaking, as he was preaching to Parikshit Maharaj. But he also engaged in the other processes. Just like when, if you remember the story from the Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami was born after many years in his mother's womb, and he came out a fully grown teenager. And he immediately left home. His father was calling after him, "My son, my son." Vyasadeva was his father. But he just ignored and just went into the forest because he was, from birth, he was fully self-realized, so he just left. So his father developed a plan, because Vyasadeva, how intelligent is Vyasadeva? He knows I have to teach my son Bhagavatam so that he can instruct it to Parikshit Maharaj so that the whole thing can develop. So in Vyasadeva's ashram, he instructed his disciples. His disciples would sometimes come to him and say, "You know, we're out there collecting firewood and roots and leaves in the forest, and it's dark and scary in the forest, and maybe there's some wild animals or some ghosts or some monsters or whatever, and we're scared." So Vyasadeva said, "Oh, I'll teach you some special mantras if you get scared in the forest." And he taught him verses from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam describing the beauty of Krishna. He has a plan here. So his disciples are in the forest collecting firewood one day. And at this time, Shukadev Goswami was just wandering around the forest like a madman, completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, completely unattached to everything, and looking like, you know, a naked wild man in the jungle. And the disciples saw him and they got scared. So they started reciting these verses from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. And when Shukadev Goswami heard these, he became so attracted and so captivated by hearing the beautiful qualities of Krishna that he started running after these disciples, who became even more frightened and started running away while they were reciting these verses. And Shukadev Goswami chased after them and followed them all the way back to the ashram. And in this way, Vyasadeva brought him home long enough to teach him Bhagavatam. So Shukadev is the exemplar for kirtan, but he also was completely absorbed in shravanam, in hearing, that he became so attracted by hearing. Or there's Akrura, who is famous for vandanam, for offering prayers. But if we look at Akrura's prayers, here's a couple of his prayers from the Bhagavatam that he's so famous for. One is, "Yani yani harupani kridan artam bibarshihi tara mrishta shucho loka muda gayanti te yasha." To enjoy your pastimes, you manifest yourself in various forms in this material world. And these incarnations cleanse away all the unhappiness of those who joyfully chant your glories. So Akrura is the acharya, or the mahajan, of offering prayers. But in his prayers, he's glorifying Gayanti. He's glorifying chanting and singing the glories of the Lord. And in another of his prayers, he says, "Soham tavang upagato smyasatam durapam tachapyaham bhavad anugraha ishamanye." "Being thus fallen, I am approaching your feet for shelter, O Lord, because although the impure can never attain your feet, I think it is nevertheless possible for your mercy, by your mercy." So he's the exemplar of offering prayers, but in his prayers, he's aspiring for padasevanam, for the shelter of his lotus feet. Or the famous example is Lakshmi Devi. The story of Lakshmi's appearance is very instructive as far as padasevanam goes. Actually, we'll get into that a little later, her story. But Lakshmi is there. She's the exemplar for padasevanam, for worshipping the Lord's lotus feet. And you always see Lakshmi massaging Vishnu's feet. So that's her favorite position. But she's also offering prayers. Just like when you see in the temple, the Lakshmi temples, Lakshmi's hand is always like this, right? Doing ashirvad, offering blessings. But if you go to, there's one place where the Lakshmi deity is like this, offering prayers. Anyone know where that deity is? Where Lakshmi is like this? In Vrindavan? In Belvan, right? Because in Belvan, Lakshmi, although she is massaging the lotus feet of Vishnu, she's offering prayers because she wants to enter Krishna's Leela. And she's not able to do that as Lakshmi. So she's serving the Lord's lotus feet, but she's engaging in vandanam. She's engaging in prayers like this. Yeah. So in this way, there's all devotees do all of them. All devotees do all of the 9 processes of devotional service generally. But still some Mahajans are focused on one or focused on another. And so this is the importance of these 9 modes of devotional service. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Sabhaktir eka mukyam rashitan aikangi kaptava swavasana nusarena nishtata siddhi krid bhavet. Taking shelter of one anga of bhakti, or of all of them, according to one's inclination, if practiced with nishta, with very determined and steadfast, it'll give all perfection. You follow one of them, or you follow all of them. Or as Prabhupada says, this is from a lecture, he says, there is no guilt, no difficulty. Shravanam, Kirtanam, you hear about Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. You haven't got to do anything. And Kirtanam also. Hearing means somebody is speaking and others are hearing. There must be somebody chanting. Just like I am chanting, I am speaking, you are hearing. So, Shravanam, Kirtanam. And as soon as we hear and chant, we remember also Smaranam. The Vandanam, offering prayers, everyone goes to the temple, to the church, offers prayers. That is also bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. Then, Archanam. Just like these boys and girls are engaged in worshipping the deity. That is called Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. To become servant of God, to cleanse the temple, to work for God, for Krishna, Dasyam. Sakyam, to accept Krishna as friend. Atmanivedanam, and offering everything to Krishna. These are 9 items. You can accept 9, 8, 7, as you like, as you can conveniently. Either the whole 9 items, or 1, 2, 3, 4, any. Even if you accept 1, your life will be perfect. If you simply take this Shravanam, if you simply come to this temple and hear about Krishna, your life will be successful. So all of these items are so important, and of course Prabhupada is stressing as the foundation hearing, but all of the items are so wonderful and so powerful that just having faith and having good practice of one of them gives you perfection, and of course that perfection is Krishna Prema, not some other thing. So this is the value of these items of devotional service, and for today let's look a little more specifically at Padasevanam, serving the Lord's lotus feet. In Padyavali, Srila Rupa Goswami's personal shloka book, he has a nice verse. This I don't have it memorized. Shravane Parikshit. That Parikshit is famous for Shravanam. Vyasaki Kirtane. Shukadeva Goswami is famous for Kirtan. Prahlad Smarane. Prahlad Maharaj is famous for remembrance of the Lord. And Tarangi Bhajane Lakshmi. And Lakshmi attained Krishna through Tadangajane, by worshipping the Lord's lotus feet. So Lakshmi's appearance is interesting. In the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, it's described the pastime of the churning of the milk ocean. Without going into the whole story, the demons and demigods were churning the milk ocean, and just like when you churn cream, butter comes out. So as they were churning the milk ocean, all these different valuable, wonderful things, the moon came out, and apsaras and divine horses and elephants and everything. And then Lakshmi herself came out from this churning of the milk ocean. And she was the most beautiful being that anyone had ever seen. And everyone desired to possess Lakshmi. And they did a big abhishek and a big ceremony where she was honored and worshipped and bathed by all the holy rivers. And then she got up and she had a beautiful garland, beautiful Vajrayanti garland. And she went wandering amongst the big crowd of all the demigods and all the demons and asuras, and all these big powerful people were there. And she's wandering around with her garland. And she's checking everybody out. She's saying, some of these people are very powerful, but their senses are not controlled. And some of them are very austere, but they fall under the sway of anger. And some of them may have this good quality, but they're lacking in some other good quality. And she searched around and searched around like that until she came to Lord Vishnu, who was had all good qualities in unlimited degree and no bad qualities, and she garlanded him. And in that way, Lakshmi became permanently situated as the consort of Vishnu. Specifically, she was permanently placed on the Lord's chest. We know Vishnu has his Sri Vatsa, which is a mark, like a symbolic mark on his chest, where showing that Lakshmi always resides on his chest. But Lakshmi, she doesn't like that. She doesn't want to be on Lord Vishnu's chest. Lakshmi Devi, first of all, because everyone, just like when she first came out of the ocean, all the demons and all the demigods were mad after her, because Lakshmi is the source of material wealth. Like I said, her deity is always like this, offering blessings. And all the materialistic people are mad after Lakshmi for material wealth. So she's a demigoddess, so when the worshiper prays, she reciprocates. So that means she has to sometimes go away from the chest of the Lord and from the association of the Lord. So she doesn't like that very much, because she wants to be not on the chest of the Lord, she wants to be permanently at the lotus feet of the Lord, Padasevanam. In fact, Prabhupada says that Lakshmi Devi is envious of the tulsi leaves, because the tulsi leaves are always placed on the Lord's lotus feet, whereas she has to be on the Lord's chest, or she has to go satisfy her materialistic worshippers. But the tulsi leaves are always at the Lord's lotus feet. So she's feeling a little jealous, a little envious of the tulsi leaves, because she wants this position to always be serving the Lord's lotus feet. So this is why Lakshmi is the emblem of this. She's so devoted that she simply wants to be situated on the Lord's lotus feet. So Padasevanam is, you know, this wonderful, amazing, glorious thing to serve the Lord's lotus feet. And what does this mean for us, specifically? In the commentary on Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam by Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he says that Padasevanam means menial service. This is what Padasevanam means, menial service. When a person, any person, they're standing, and the head is the highest part, and the foot is the lowest part. And of course, we know in Indian culture, to, you know, touch someone with your feet or to step over someone is very rude. That's very rude, low class, even offensive thing to do, because the feet is the lowest part. You don't want to submit anyone else under that, under your feet. But when someone is a superior to you and you're feeling great love and you're feeling humility and you want to serve, then you voluntarily place yourself under that person's foot. And this is the expression of love and humility. So this is what is meant by menial service, that you're willing to make yourself a servant, you're willing to lower yourself. Because in this world, everyone wants to be not a servant, everyone wants to be the master. Padasevana means you voluntarily become the servant, you place yourself under the lowest part of Krishna's body, his feet. And that, of course, because it's Krishna, putting yourself under Krishna's lotus feet is actually the most elevated position of all. Such that even Lakshmi, the goddess of all wealth in this material world, is hankering after that position. And all the devotees want this. They're hankering that somehow or other I could be placed under Krishna's lotus feet, that I could get a position. Even Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, but in his mood as a devotee, is praying, I nanda tamaja kankaram patitam me vishame bhavam budo tava kripa para pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. That I'm so fallen. Oh Krishna, O son of Nanda, I am so fallen that I have no hopes of doing it, but because you're very merciful, he's praying, please, I'm begging, let me be stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Just like a particle of dust on your foot. He's not asking to be the biggest devotee. I want to be the biggest devotee. I want to be the best devotee. I want to be the greatest devotee or the most intimate or the most this or most that. I want to be the most insignificant devotee, just like a speck of dust on your feet. He's begging for that position. So how elevated, how wonderful is that position that by external reckoning sounds so small and insignificant, but how great is it that Lord Chaitanya himself is hankering for that? There's a letter from Srila Prabhupada where he discusses it a little bit. Let's see. This is a letter. Please continue your very good service and do not feel any feeling of uselessness. It is true that Krishna has given some the opportunity to serve him by nice writing, some by good business ability, some by nice cooking, and so on. But these various services are all accepted equally by Krishna. On the transcendental plane, one service is as good as another. There is no question of higher or lower. We are very tiny, and so we cannot really do very much. Simply, we can engage our time and energy, and that is all Krishna sees. He sees this boy or girl is spending his time in my service, and he is pleased. So, I said it means menial service, but service means menial service. If you're thinking, I'm doing service, I want to be a devotee, I want to serve Krishna, but I don't want to do menial service, I want to do big service, I want to do, far out service, I don't want to do this menial service, that means you're not understanding what service is. It's all menial service. If you're mopping the floor, that's menial service. And if you're the temple president, or the sannyasi, or the GBC, or the guru, that's menial service. And if you're thinking, oh, I don't do menial service, I'm a big this or a big that, then you're not understanding what service is. It's all menial service. And according to our situation, our advancement, our taste, our abilities, we'll be doing different services at different times. But it's all menial service. It's all included as positioning ourselves as the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. Here's another... But still, the so-called menial service is also very good. This is a memory from Shrutadev Das. He said, in Hyderabad, after a Pandal lecture program, a teenage Indian boy spent the night with the devotees. The next morning, he entered Srila Prabhupada's room along with the initiated devotees and sat down close to Prabhupada. As soon as Prabhupada saw the boy, he pointed to the door without saying a word. The boy also said nothing, but got up and left. Srila Prabhupada then turned to one of the sannyasis and said, first he must wash all the pots. He explained that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had always first tested the sincerity of someone who wanted to join by asking him to wash pots. So this menial service is very good for reminding us that we're not big this or big that, but we're menial servants, we're lowly servants. We're specks of dust at the lotus feet of Krishna. Because the tendency of the material mind, as long as we're materially contaminated, is that even in our service to Krishna, we want to be big or famous or glorious or recognized, all these things. So a little menial service is good for us. In Boston, after Prabhupada installed deities there, he told the devotees that when you polish the deity's paraphernalia, like these brass trays and lamps, when you polish them, you're polishing your heart. So this menial service is a very good thing. And Prabhupada would always stress this practical service. Just like going back to that nectar of devotion section I read at the beginning, that it's not simply sitting and thinking in action. There's some action, anushilanam, there's a process. And Prabhupada wanted to see the devotees active, preaching, building, chanting, managing, cleaning, all these different activities, all of them going on. So-called practical service. Of course, hearing is also practical service. Chanting is also practical service. That has to be balanced. But some, hands-on service is a very good thing, very good additions to one's devotional service, as long as it's balanced nicely. I'll tell a quick history here of one example of not being balanced nicely and one example of it being balanced nicely. When my wife was a brand new devotee in Mauritius, the Bhaktin leader used to have the girls work really hard, like all the time, work really hard and they practically have no time to hear or even to chant their rounds. And there was one girl, she hadn't finished her rounds for the day, and so the bhajan leader said, just do the service and keep track of how many rounds you're behind. And this went on all week, and then at the end of the week, she told the girl, okay, now today you go and you chant, you know, all week's rounds that you missed. And she had to chant all those rounds, and the poor girl's falling asleep, and then every half hour the bhajan leader was going, are you done yet? Are you done yet? So this is not a good balance between the hearing and chanting and the practical service. On the other hand, that was her unfortunate experience. My fortunate experience in the temple I joined was that the temple president, he would give me a big plate of sweets, and he would say, just chant, take all day and just chant and see the deities and read Prabhupada's books. And he didn't ask me to do anything. But then after 2 or 3 days, I was going in and I was begging him, give me some service. I want to do something. I'm sitting and reading. Because I was starting to understand it. And also I could see all the devotees around me are working so hard. So anyway, the point is there has to be a good balance. You have to be hearing and chanting. And there should also be some so-called practical active service. This is to balance these nicely. Very good thing, very important thing. And if we're very aware and very alert to it, then the opportunities for padasevanam are so unlimited, even in ways you wouldn't think of. Because again, remember this: all these different navalakshana, all these 9 different types of devotional service, there's a lot of overlap. For example, worshipping the deities. Of course, there's the pujari. He's worshipping the deities, so he's doing archanam. But the pujari also gets to wash the Lord's lotus feet and massage the Lord's lotus feet with scented oil and put chandan and tulsi leaves on. So he's also doing padasevanam. And even the devotees who are not pujaris, it's recommended, Prabhupada says several times, that when you see the deities, the process of seeing the deities is that you look at the lotus feet first. And you see the lotus feet of the deities and you meditate on his lotus feet. That's padasevanam. And then gradually you look up his legs, his chest, and then up to his face. So you could turn darshan into padasevanam. You had what was just darshan, now it's padasevanam also. It's like a 2-for-1 deal. You're not doing any extra work, but just by a little awareness and a little meditation, now you're doing padasevanam. And then you go and get the charanamrita at the end of the altar there. And the mantra there is Akala Mrityuharanam Sarva Vyadi Vinashanam Vishno Purodakam Pitwa Shirasodharayamyam. That's the water that has bathed Lord Krishna's lotus feet. That's the prayer. And this water, it'll destroy our material disease and destroy the cycle of birth and death. So let me take the water from Lord Vishnu's lotus feet onto my head. Now it's Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is directly Lord Krishna himself. So much so that Prabhupada explained that the first and second canto are Lord Krishna's lotus feet. And then the next canto is his thighs and his shins, his calves, his thighs, his waist, his chest, up to the 10th canto, which is his smiling face. So even when we're doing Shravanam Kirtanam, that's also padasevanam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from the spiritual body of Krishna himself. So in this way, there's so many unlimited opportunities to make all of these services into padasevanam. Prabhupada says about chanting the holy name, that when a devotee, this is a purport in Bhagavad Gita, I can't remember the verse now, but he says that when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Krishna and his internal potency are dancing on the devotee's tongue. So this is such padasevanam that Krishna's feet are dancing on your tongue by chanting Hare Krishna. So the opportunities are unlimited, both by meditation and by practical service of cleaning, sweeping, worshipping, building, preaching, managing, all these different things. And aside from that, Srila Prabhupada gives an even deeper meaning to what padasevanam is. This is from the purport of 7.5.23 and 4, is it? Of Prahlad's verse, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. And in the purport, he has a paragraph for each item. And here's what he says about padasevanam. It's very interesting. One obtains the perfection of remembering when one constantly thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. Being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called padasevanam. So here's we see this blending of smaranam and padasevanam. But he says this is padasevanam, to be thinking and meditating and being attached to the Lord's lotus feet. He continues, when one is particularly adherent to the process of padasevanam, this process gradually includes other processes, such as seeing the form of the Lord, touching the form of the Lord, circumambulating the form or temple of the Lord, visiting such places as Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, and Mathura to see the Lord's form, and bathing in the Ganges or Yamuna. Bathing in the Ganges and serving a pure Vaishnava are also known as Tadya Upasanam. This is also padasevanam. The word Tadya means in relationship with the Lord. Service to the Vaishnava, Tulsi, Ganges, and Yamuna are all included in padasevanam. All these processes of padasevanam help one advance in spiritual life very quickly. So we could see from this just how broad this category of padasevanam is. Serving the Tadya. What's that? Lord Shiva told his wife, Aradhanam Sardesham Vishnor Aradhanam Param. He said to his wife, Parvati, he said, my dear wife, the best worship of all is the worship of Vishnu. And then he continued, Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. But even better, even higher than the worship of Vishnu, is the worship of Tadiyanam, those things in relationship to Vishnu. The Ganges, the Yamuna, Tulsi, and especially the devotees. Because if we're serving Krishna's lotus feet, what do we find clustered around, gathered around, hankering after Krishna's lotus feet? We're going to find devotees. So if we serve the devotees, that's automatically serving Krishna's lotus feet, and arguably the best way of serving Krishna's lotus feet. So it's such a broad thing, and so easy, and so available, and so potent, so amazingly powerful. As Prabhupada says, they help one advance in spiritual life very quickly. Just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they talk about 5 items that are very powerful, that just a little attachment to them gives you bhava bhakti, stage of bhava bhakti. Nam Kirtan, Satsanga, Bhagavad Shravan, Mathura Vas, and Archamurti. So chanting the holy name, associating with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, going to the holy places, and worshipping the deity. Just a little attachment to any of these 5 things can elevate you to the stage of bhava bhakti. But all of these 5 things are included within padasevanam. And Prabhupada is saying the same thing here, and that quote I said earlier from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also said the same thing, that sincerely practicing even one of them can take you to the stage of prema bhakti. So this is how wonderful padasevanam is, how important padasevanam is. I can't say it's more important than the others. If you had to speak objectively, you'd probably have to argue for Shravanam and Kirtanam is most important. But they're all so interconnected and intertwined, you can't separate them. And at different times and places, they all have their special place and their special qualities and special potencies. And we should take advantage of that as much as possible. And I have one more. This is a bunch of quotes that I thought were very nice that I'll finish up with. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, 6th chapter of the Adi Lila, which is describing the glories of Advaitacharya, Krishnadas Kaviraj starts describing the mood of being a servant of Krishna. And in glorifying that, he quotes some of them his own verses and some of them Bhagavatam verses, describing how all sorts of devotees from all different classes and all different kinds of relationships are aspiring to be under Krishna's lotus feet. First, he says, Love for Krishna has this one unique effect. It imbues superiors, equals, and inferiors with the spirit of service to Krishna, to Lord Krishna. Then he says, the most beloved goddess of fortune resides on the chest of Sri Krishna, yet she too, earnestly praying, begs for the joy of service at his feet. So she's at his chest. At his chest means that Vishnu is always embracing her as his consort, but she wants to be at the service of his feet. He goes on, Nanda Maharaj too prays for attachment and devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, as the words from his own mouth give evidence. So Nanda Maharaj is in the position of a superior to Krishna, his father. And then he quotes a Bhagavatam verse. May our minds, this is Nanda Maharaj speaking to Uddhava when Uddhava visited Vrindavan. He said, may our minds be attached to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Padam Bhuja Shreya. May Krishna's lotus feet be our shelter. May our tongues chant his holy names, and may our bodies lie prostrate before him. So even Nanda Maharaj is Krishna's superior in Leela, but he wants to be offering prostrate obeisances under the shelter of his lotus feet. And Krishna's friends, think of Krishna as just one of them. They're like equals, they're like friends. And they're fighting with him, wrestling, all these different things. But still, although Krishna's friends fight with him and climb upon his shoulders, they worship his lotus feet in a spirit of servitude, charana sevanam, in serving his lotus feet. And here's the Bhagavatam verse. Some of the friends of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, massaged his feet, and others, whose sinful reactions had been destroyed, fanned him with handheld fans. So this is very menial service. Although they're so elevated, they want this menial service. They want to massage his feet. They want to fan him. So the parental devotees, the friendly devotees, even the gopis, even Radhika herself. What to speak of the other gopis, even Sri Radhika, who in every respect is the most elevated of them all, and who has bound Sri Krishna forever by her loving attributes, serves his feet as his maidservant. And again, these same words, sevana charana, service to his lotus feet. She's conquered Krishna with her love, but she doesn't want to be above Krishna. She wants to serve his lotus feet. And then there's the queens in Dwarka. Rukmini says, when Jarasandha and other kings, bows and arrows upraised, stood ready to deliver me in charity to Shishupal, Krishna forcibly took me from their midst, as a lion takes its share of goats and sheep. The dust of his lotus feet is therefore the crown of unconquerable soldiers. May those lotus feet, which are the shelter of the goddess of fortune, be the object of my worship. And another queen, Kalindi, who is also the Yamuna River personified, said, this is at the lunar eclipse in Kurukshetra, when the queens of Dwarka met with, Draupadi and the queens of Dwarka met and they were talking. So Kalindi said to Draupadi, knowing me to be performing austerities with the desire to touch his feet, swapada sparshana, to touch Krishna's feet, he came with his friend Arjuna and accepted my hand. Yet I am but a maidservant engaged in sweeping the floor of the house of Sri Krishna. So this is a little bit about the glories of Padasevanam. It gives such easy access to the kind of mood and the kind of devotion, the humility and the devotion necessary to advance very quickly. And if we're just aware of it and think about it and take an opportunity when it comes, the opportunities for advancement are great, unlimited. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You spoken very eloquently about serving the lotus feet of Krishna, the lotus feet of God. And in some of the Upanishads, as you know, there's information that God has no feet. So how do you reconcile that?
He has no feet, but he runs faster than all others. Right? That's so he has no feet. Of course, the Vaishnava understanding is that he does not have material feet like ordinary material beings. And as another aspect of our Lord Sri Krishna is also his Brahman effulgence. So the Brahman effulgence doesn't have feet. So that's another way to look at it. But we want to worship Bhagavan, not Brahman. So therefore, he has feet, but they're not like the smelly athlete's feet, ridden feet of the people of this material world. These are lotus feet, and they're beautifully fragrant, and they can give all blessings to the devotees, and they're beautiful with his sham skin on the top surface of the feet with a beautiful bluish skin, and the underneath is very soft and pink, so they look just like a beautiful lotus flower. Therefore, we always talk about lotus feet. So those are the feet we want. And those kind of feet Krishna definitely has, I will say. He has feet. Those kind of feet. Is that all right?
Yes.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the nice class. It was quite thought-provoking and inspiring. Now, I was just trying to reflect on some of the points that I was reading in relation to Parasarva. One was that there is two different kinds of bhakti, as they say. I think it is Bhaktivinoda Thakur who explained that there is Swarupa Siddha Bhakti, now I think it is Jiva Goswami. And then there is indirect devotional service, which means you directly serve the lotus feet of Krishna. And the other one is you do things which are offered to Krishna.
Okay.
Now, he actually says that these are completely two different categories. Like you're doing a job and you offer some of the fruit when you want to reach the temple. That's one type of devotion. But to directly serve, which comes in the direct devotional service, Swarupa Siddha Bhakti.
Okay.
So I wanted to hear your thoughts on where exactly is the line of distinction between the two. And also about the fact that the other types of devotional service, generally people, unless they are very advanced, can do it for very, very long, continuously. But service, we can even do for 6 to 10 hours or whatever, without getting bored or without getting too much distracted. So why the distinction? Can you?
Yeah, I can't say exactly where the line is. That's very hard to tell. But generally, I think what you're talking about there is the distinction between sadhana bhakti and then bhava and prema bhakti. In bhava and prema bhakti, the devotion, the practice is much more direct.
Well, I was specifically saying that because in ISKCON scenario, we actually do services, temple services,
right,
as ordained by the spiritual master. And then we also have our occupations and other activities, which we try to dovetail or use it in Krishna's service.
Right.
So I was trying to bring a distinction between these.
Right. So those things are very important. Both are very important. Both are temple or ISKCON service. And also for those of us who are, family people, that service of working and maintaining the family is also very important. But it has to be coupled with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Otherwise, the tendency is that you're just busy externally. Because all of these things, just like going back, let me see if I can quickly find this. Being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called padasevana. So if you're doing the work, you're busy. And it's for Krishna, that's good. But if you're not also internally thinking of Krishna, then it's not as good. It's not as direct. It's not as potent. Therefore, the program is not simply to work hard, but to work hard and do Shravanam hard and do Kirtanam hard and do Smaranam hard and do all of it together. And when it's all combined in a intelligent way and in a balanced way and in a way that's appropriate for the individual persons, then they all reinforce each other and help us advance very quickly. And if they're out of balance, then it could be a stumbling block. That if we're if we're reading, I hate to say reading too much because there's no such thing as reading too much of Srila Prabhupada's books, but if we neglect practical service, that could cause a certain kind of imbalance in our devotional service. And if we're very busy working hard, but we're not chanting and reading and meditating, that causes another kind of imbalance. So everything has to be done intelligently and tailored for the individual person. And then we don't fall into the trap of some kind of imbalance that we're just very busy but not actually advancing nicely. So it all has to be put together.
Right, but what I was asking is a little different than this.
Okay.
What I was asking,
I'll try again.
Yeah, no, sorry, maybe I couldn't put it.
No, it's good.
No, basically, you know, service to Krishna. What kind of services? I'm not talking about Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, that's there. But when you do physical, practical service with your senses, areas, which of those activities is exactly Pada Sevana? And which of them is not exactly Pada Sevana? You are actually trying to dovetail it in the service of Krishna.
If you're thinking of Krishna and if you're doing it for Krishna, then it's Pada Sevana. That's how I would explain it in brief. If you're thinking of Krishna, at least to some degree, and if you're doing it for Krishna, then it's Pada Sevana. Just like if a grihastha who's working a job. There's nothing spiritual about working a job. But if you're doing it, you're supporting your family, and you and all of your family members are trying to engage in Krishna service, then that work becomes, at least to some degree, Pada Sevana. And then you take some of that money, you use it for the family, some of it you also give directly to the service of Krishna. So by engaging it in different ways, more and more, it's Pada Sevana. But like I said, if it's for Krishna, practically, and if you're at least trying to think of Krishna in the process, it's Pada Sevana. Is that okay?
Excuse me, I'm yes. Not sure I got the question. What was he asking? I'm not sure I got that. Can you clarify that?
When or how do you know if your activities, the work you do, is actually Pada Sevana? That was basically the question, yes? So my answer again in brief is if you're giving the result, at least to some degree, to Krishna, and if you're thinking of Krishna in the process, again, at least to some degree, then it's Pada Sevana.
So any activity, when you do puja, you're thinking about Krishna, then it's Pada Sevana.
In one sense, it's also, if you're doing the puja, it's also archanam.
Okay.
So it's also archanam. But as Prabhupada says, again, I'll read this again. When one is particularly adherent to the process of Pada Sevanam, this process gradually includes other processes such as seeing the form of the Lord, touching the form of the Lord, worshipping the form of the Lord in the temple. So all of these things, they're archanam and they're other things, but they're also Pada Sevanam. In other words, Pada Sevanam can be a very broad thing. You could define it in that, you know, narrowly, and saying, okay, I'm sweeping the floor, that's Pada Sevanam. Now I'm doing an artik on the altar, that's archanam. And that's true, but it's also true that sweeping the floor is also worship. And it's also true that worshiping the deity is also, in some ways, Pada Sevanam. So I'm just saying that there's some overlap in these categories.
Yeah, but people like us, you know, we think we are devotees, I'm not sure. But the thing is, we cannot see Krishna. I mean, we are not that advanced to see. We are seeing Krishna, but actually are we seeing internally?
The more your knowledge and the more your devotion is increasing, you'll see Krishna more and more. And the way to start that process is by seeing Krishna in the temple. Because that's also seeing Krishna. And when you see him, you look at his lotus feet, and you meditate on those lotus feet, and you can pray like Lord Chaitanya prayed, that my Lord, I just want to be a speck of dust at your lotus feet. And then gradually the devotion and knowledge and spiritual vision will come eventually where you can see Krishna's feet everywhere. I'll tell a story. I told this at a Sunday feast the last time I gave class maybe. A devotee was asking Srila Prabhupada, how do we see Krishna everywhere? Like if I look at that wall, does it mean I see Krishna standing on the wall or Is Krishna in front of the wall, or is there a little Krishna on every brick of the wall? He was trying with his material intelligence to understand how to see Krishna everywhere. And Prabhupada said, no, it's just like when a mother sees the shoe of her child. She doesn't see a shoe, she sees her child. Because there's a connection between the shoe and the child, and because she loves the child, therefore, when she sees the shoe, she sees her child. She's not just seeing a shoe. So the devotee, as he advances, because he understands that everything in this world is Krishna Tadiya, is Krishna's paraphernalia and has a connection with Krishna. Therefore, gradually, he could see everything, that when he sees something, he's seeing Krishna, because it's Krishna's energy. And then when he takes that energy of Krishna and he engages it in Krishna's service, then that's Padasevana. Is that okay? Anything else, or is that time? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.